Turn with me, please, to Psalm 33. And let's look at verse number 12. The Bible said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." What I'm going to share with you, I've never thought about before. When the Bible said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," I know that in our Pledge of Allegiance, we say one nation under God. But you would have to agree with me that America is not a Christian nation. I believe America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. But I want to, just in your mind for a moment, just go back to, some of the old westerns. You're getting back there. Go on back in the black and whites. And what do you have? You have a good guy, and you have a bad guy. You have a bunch of drunks in a saloon, a barroom fight. I'm talking about America's history now, okay? But throughout America's history, there's always been a remnant of God's people, God-fearing people, people that know the Lord, people that love the Lord. By the way, I don't know how in the world you could know him and not love him. And I don't know how in the world you could love him and not serve him. That's just pastor talking tonight. Jesus did say, "If you love me, keep my commandments," didn't he? Amen. And so tonight, I begin to wonder, blessed is the nation. Where is that nation whose God is the Lord? One of our precious ladies showed me on Sunday night after church, a picture of a rocker painted up in pride colors in front of the Cracker Barrel. Who said that? God help. That's the truth, Brother Mike. God help. But before I get finished tonight, I hope you'll be encouraged, because I'm going to talk to you tonight about this nation that I believe God is talking about here. I don't believe he's talking about America. I don't believe he's talking about China. I don't believe he's talking about Japan. I don't believe he's even talking about Israel. Because you can study the history of Israel, and there was a remnant within that people that loved God, but there was always those, beloved, listen, that were going against the Word of God and against the things of God. I think the best way to start the lesson off tonight would take you in your Bibles, please, to the book of Peter. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I believe it'll make a little bit more sense tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Chapter number 2. We'll be in chapter 1 a little bit here. And I've got so much ground to cover tonight that I'd like to cover tonight. I need your prayers. I'd like to cover this tonight if I could. The Bible said, I'm gonna begin reading. We're gonna back up in a little bit, but I don't know what to do here. Where to start? Let's go back to verse 1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Would you all agree with me that if a person has no desire for the Word of God in their life, there's a problem? I remember when the Lord saved me, amen? And I remember that desire for God's Word. I wanted to hear preaching on the radio. I wanted to hear preaching on tapes. I wanted to read the Word of God. I wanted to study the Word of God. The Bible said, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Has anybody tasted that tonight, the grace of God? To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He's talking about Jesus now. Ye also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. Every time I see this word, I can't help but think about Brother Riley Salling. He didn't say precious. He'd say precious. Amen. That old man of God, I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus was precious to him. And he thought Jesus ought to be precious to every born-again believer. The Bible said here, he's precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. They tried to do away with Jesus, and God just put him right there for a cornerstone. Amen. Notice now, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You remember the Bible said in John 1, he came into his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We're going somewhere tonight. Stay with me. I'm going to show you this nation I believe God's talking about. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen, there's that word again, remember that word, but, that hinge on the door. God said, I'm telling you about some bad stuff, but I'm going to show you some good stuff. Watch this, he said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, notice, a holy nation. Do you all see that right there? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There's only one holy nation. That's made up of God's people. They're scattered out all over the globe. But thank God, they're a holy nation. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Notice the verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I want to tell you something tonight. There are people in our country that despise you and I, despise our Bible, despise what we believe, despise the one that we serve. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe God is saying to his church tonight, pick your chin up. You're part of that nation tonight. You have reason to rejoice. I tell you, I'm not trying to be smart, but what God's put in my heart today, if I go down the street in Kingsport and there's a sodomite standing on every corner, I'm going to rejoice because my name's written in heaven. If every one of the Cracker Barrels, amen, puts the colored rockers out in front of them, I'm going to rejoice because my name's written in heaven.
You know what the Bible said? Among whom ye shine as lights in the midst of a wicked and a perverse nation. God's saying, listen, you're not to wait till you get home to rejoice, but right now, rejoice in the good things of God. Marriage is honorable and all, the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. It seems we're living in a generation that they think nothing of shacking up and not getting married. But you know what? There's drunkards everywhere. There's sinners everywhere. And you know what they need? They need God's people to have a smile on their face and have the joy of God in their heart. I'm not talking about, beloved, wait until we get to heaven. I'm talking about right here, right now. God has made you and I a part. The Bible said, blessed. Are you blessed tonight? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. My God's the Lord tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you just a couple things tonight. First of all, in this nation we're talking about here, there are people that are saved. They're saved people. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Well, if you look back over there in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 23, the Bible said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, I'm a citizen of two worlds. And I'm actually a citizen of two nations. We are, listen, if you're getting what I got out of this today, we are a nation as God's people within a nation here in the United States of America. America's not a holy nation. America's not a peculiar people. Do you know this week, beloved, they had a transgender in the White House up there, took his shirt off, her shirt off, its shirt off. I don't know what they are. I'm not being smart, amen? But if they don't know what they are, how in the world am I supposed to know what they are?
Amen.
But I'm telling you, yes, it saddens my heart to see America going away from God, away from the Bible, away from the things of God, away from the church. Church attendance right now, if you study it, is way down. And COVID gave a lot of people an excuse to stay at the house. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you tonight. But we should never be saying something like this, well, I got out of the habit of going to church. Smoking's a habit. Going to church hadn't ought to be a habit. It ought to be a way of life for the child of God. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but listen, exhorting one another. As a manner, some is exhorting one another, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brother Jason talked about that day. Our Savior's coming. We're talking about a holy nation. We're talking about a chosen generation. We're talking about a royal priesthood. And the first step getting in that nation is being born again. Church pews today. Listen to me. I'm not being critical, but I'm telling the truth. I believe the Independent Baptist Church in the late 70s and early 80s on up into the late 80s filled their churches up with lost people. Because, beloved, you could come in and repeat this prayer, no conviction. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me. If there's never been conviction, there's never been a conversion. The Bible said you can't come to Him unless the Spirit that God that sent Him draw you. Amen. Thank God for the Spirit of God. He's the one that births us into the family. He's the one that convicted us of our sin. He's the one that convinced us that Jesus is the Savior. He's the one that gets all the glory because we've been born again. Not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed by the Word of God. I notice in this nation, not only are there saved people, but in this nation, there's a Savior. Let me just say, the Bible said He's precious. I want to ask you a question tonight. I'm not trying to be smart, but is He precious to you? My wife is precious to me. My grandchildren. I stood on the bank and waved bye to them as they went up the road today. They clung to me last night. We had an awful good time of fellowship. But I'm going to tell you, them youngins are precious to me. Sawyer was over here helping me Monday. Brother Houston was going to take that wall out over there Monday on the backside. We walked through the door and I said, Sawyer, one of the first things we've got to do, son, is I said, we've got to get the front of that step right there. We've got to get us a line from the bottom to the top. It wasn't too long. And he said, Papaw, can I see your pencil? And I wasn't even thinking. I was tied up, busy in my mind and everything else, doing other things. And I said, sure, son. And I went around there. And there was three snakes coming down that wall. I said, Sawyer, honey. See, if I'd have been my son, I'd have probably climbed his frame, brother. But I'm a little older now. I'm back here in Sister Helen's office hunting me something to get graffiti off with. He couldn't have drawn it on the part I had to cut out. He had to draw it over on the other part that was staying. I said, son, Papaw's going to show you in a minute how to draw a straight line. We got that 4-foot level out. Made that bubble. He held the light for me, and we drug that pencil down through there. He'll never forget that. That hour or two or three that we spent together on Monday is precious. How long has it been since you spent any time with your Savior? And you could say, He's precious. Ain't nobody going to have to beg you, Brother Jason, to spend time with that baby. Say amen. Honey, you're going to be chomping at the bit to get home. And she is too, because she'll get to lay down. She'll be the one that's been up all night, amen, with that baby. Amen. Jason, he won't be able to wait to come home. He'll be trying to feed that boy mashed potatoes, amen, at 2 days old. And wanting to know if he's got Walt's gravy on him. Amen? I'm telling you, when you love somebody, they're precious to you. This holy nation, we're saved people. We have a Savior. We're sanctified. The Bible said a holy nation set apart. You go over in chapter number 1, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself, verse 14, according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation. If you'll agree with me tonight, if you'll think for this moment, I believe you'll agree with me. Not too much holy living being preached in the average Baptist church these days. Boy, I can remember, beloved, listen, when preachers preach separation. Come out from among the world. Be a separate people, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't make it right, but we need to strive. Brother Mitchell used to say, we're not perfect, but we ought to strive every day of our life to be more like Him. Sanctified. Go back to Psalms chapter 33. I'm talking about this nation now. Blessed is the nation. We're blessed because we're saved. We're blessed because we have a Savior. We're blessed because, beloved, we're sanctified. We've been set apart. Meet the Word of God. That word means fit for the Master's use. Back in Psalm chapter 33, let's go down through here just a little bit. We're talking about that holy nation now, that nation whose God, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And by the way, if you read the rest of the verse, I believe it backs up what I'm preaching tonight. And the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Now, somebody might say, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. That's over there in the book of Psalms. And that's just talking about the Jews. Well, let me remind you, in the book of Ephesians, He tore down the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile and made of twain one body in Christ. Can I remind you also that Peter is in the New Testament. when he talks about a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation. I believe God wants us to understand we might be living in the midst of a wicked and a perverse nation, but go ahead and let your light shine, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I believe our nation is on a swift track, I'm talking about America, to judgment, to the judgment of God. Let me say this to you. God will never apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we think we're getting by. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. We're not getting by. We're not getting by. It was a sad day when the President of the United States put his stamp of approval on same-sex marriage. He went into office saying that marriage was between a man and a woman. And he got so pushed by that fringe. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, it is a fringe, but if we don't stand up for what's right, are you listening to me? It'll not be a fringe long. Notice in chapter 33, what kind of nation are we talking about? A saved people. They have a Savior. They're sanctified. But I'm going to give you this tonight. They're a shouting people. You say, Pastor, have you lost your mind? No. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said, rejoice in the Lord. Well, you say, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Well, let me give you what Paul said. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. In the last year, half a dozen different times, I've had people say to me, Pastor, I almost shouted. And I've said the same thing to every one of them. Would to God you'd get past almost. Let God have His way. Amen. Honey, it might help somebody that's lost. It might help somebody that's backslid. To hear that shout back in a saint of God's soul. Watch what the Word of God said here. It said, praise is comely. Turn with me to Psalm chapter number 5 and verse number 11. Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 11. Notice what the Word of God said here. The Bible said, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Anybody here tonight trust in Him? The Bible said, let them ever shout for joy when things are going good in the country. When there's a president that's of your liking. That ain't what it says, is it? It said, let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Look at Psalm chapter 32 and verse number 11. The Bible said, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now listen to me. I don't know. I think it was the first time you preached in this church, brother. You had the audacity to stand up and talk about Fox News. How many remembers that? How many is guilty as a low-down hound dog? Amen. I don't care what channel it is, beloved. If it's all you do is watch the news, you're going to end up depressed. Amen. God's got a good message right here. You want to get on shouting ground, you're going to have to get off of Fox News. Amen. And you're going to have to get in the Word of God. And you're going to have to see that there's a God in heaven that's got this. He didn't say anything. Listen, mankind says we're evolving. We're getting better and better. Good night. If you've got a lick of sense, you know better than that. Amen. You look at our cities and tarps sewed up everywhere and baskets with tarps over them and needles laying everywhere and they don't even have a porta potty in the street. I'm telling you, we're in a bad shape in America. But God said His church is still in good shape. I can rejoice tonight because my name is written in heaven. Amen. I love to see people walk the aisle. I love to see people saved. You were talking about Brother Coulter. He loves it when those men get help. But I'm telling you, God is telling you and I, He told Isaiah, you're going to go preach to a people and they're not going to listen to a word you say. But Isaiah still said, here am I, Lord. Send me. And I'll tell you, Isaiah's in heaven tonight, and Isaiah is glad. Jeremiah is glad. Ezekiel is glad. David is glad that even when things were going wrong all the way around them, there was something right on the inside of them that kept them going in the right direction. Listen to me. Happiness is determined by what's going on around you. Joy is determined by what's going on the inside of you. I remember years ago, Kyla Rowland used to write a lot of songs. How many's ever heard of Kyla? I've heard her sing up there in that Jubilee in Bristol. And her brother, Ron, I believe Ron was his name, heard them sing, and my goodness, they could make music and sing. Kyla come in one time, and she had a son that they called Bubba. And Bubba was out in the world like the prodigal son, living wicked, away from God. And Kyla's up there in the church and singing and rejoicing. And yet at the same time, her heart was heavy. If you've got a wayward child, you know what she's talking about. She sat down with her mother, and she sat there at the kitchen table. She said, I spent 30 minutes pouring my heart out to my mom. I'm talking about them old-time Christians. I'm talking about them Christians, beloved. They didn't need a preacher to pump them up. They didn't need a choir to pump them up. You could just say Jesus and they'd shout, amen. They had spent time with Him. They loved Him. He was precious to them. Kyla told her mom all about what was going on with Bubba. And she said her mom looked back across the table at her, and here's what she said. What a wonderful time to be a Christian. In other words, beloved, everything's all out of sorts. But ain't it good we have a throne of grace we can go to? Ain't it good we got a Father in heaven that knows what we're going through, knows what we need even before we ask? But He said, ask, and you shall receive. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm feeling pretty thankful to be a part of that nation. Look in Psalm 47. I have not talked to Brother Jason at all. I haven't talked to anybody about what I was going to preach tonight. But listen, in Psalm 47, I want you to look at verse number 1, the Bible said, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let me ask you something. How many knows anything at all about the life of the Apostle Paul? Shipwrecked, beaten, let down in a basket, left outside the city for dead. Perils of countrymen. Perils among false brethren. 5 times I received the 40 stripes, save one. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. When they're talking about that in that time, they're not talking about getting a lilac switch off of the bush. I believe Paul's back had been lacerated over and over and over. He's the man that said things like this, Brother Dale. He said, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, how in the world could a man go through stuff like that in prison? Could you imagine Paul putting his application in to be a pastor? Could you imagine 4 or 5 men sitting around the table saying, we can't have this guy. He can't stay out of jail. And it had been a wonderful pastor. Amen. He's the one that said, thanks be to God, which always causes us trouble. He's the one that said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed. He said, Pastor, how could he say that? I'll tell you how. Listen to me. He was precious to him. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, that's our problem. Somebody help me tonight. That's all we're seeing is what we can see. But the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. And the things which are not seen are eternal. That's how Paul could keep going when the average man would have quit a long time ago. I'm glad I'm a part of that nation tonight. I don't want to get the mully grubs, amen, and get all depressed where I can't be any good to my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my church, my neighbor, or anybody else in this world. There's shouting. Then there's singing. We're talking about this nation. If you're in this nation, look here. The Bible said here. Well, I'm not done with the shouting yet. Let me just give you this real quick. Psalm 47, verse number 5. The Bible said, God has gone up with a shout. Oh boy, God just give me something. Acts chapter number 1. This same manner, this same Jesus whom you see going to heaven shall so come in like manner. Boy, God just give me that. He's gone up with a shout. How's he coming back? Glory to God. With a shout. So you and I just might as well shout on the way. Say amen. Glory to God. Ain't that good? Gone up with a shout. He's coming back with a shout. The voice of the archangel. The trump of God. It's going to blow so loud a deaf preacher can hear it. Amen. If he comes in tonight, I won't have to put my hearing aids in to know he's here. Amen. I'm having a good time tonight. I'm part of a holy nation. A peculiar people. I want to see America turn around. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If America never turns around, you and all, I ought to rejoice till he comes and gets us out of this mess. They're singing. Look at Psalm 33, verse 2 and 3. Psalm chapter 33. Go back over here a minute. Verse 2 and 3. The Bible said, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. How many believes that when God saves a man, picks him up out of the mire and puts him on the rock, he puts a new song in his heart, even praise unto our God? I'll say this tonight. You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to believe me. But one of the reasons we're in the shape we're in our country is because of what our kids are listening to. What they're watching in these videos, what they're listening to, the games that they're playing, all of it makes sin acceptable. It desensitizes us. Yeah, over there in the book of Jeremiah where I've been reading, I'm about to finish up Jeremiah, but the Bible said this, said they could not blush. I'm going to say this tonight. I think you'll agree with me. There was a time in this country when the average Christian would have blushed at the average underwear commercial today. Am I right or am I wrong? We would have said, oh my goodness, what are they doing? I remember My pastor was Bud Wishon. His daddy was Woodrow Wishon. You were talking, Brother Dale, about Joe Arthur's going to be preaching in that camp meeting. And my pastor went to the airport to pick up Joe, and he took his daddy with him, Woodrow. Now, I'm going to give you something. Listen, neither one of them had a television in their house. Neither one of them. How many remembers when that wasn't so uncommon? I mean, you remember that? There was two guys come down through the airport. I said two guys kissing on one another. And Brother Woodrow, my pastor's daddy, said to his son out loud, "My Lord, son, did you see that?" And Brother Bud saying, "Daddy, hush." He had never seen anything like that in his life. I would never tell my pastor, I hope he don't hear this on tape somewhere, but his daddy's a better preacher than he was. That old man of God would stand like this right here and them toes hanging out over the step, and he'd go to preaching and he'd start doing this. He'd wad his pants up like that. And when they cleared the top of his socks, honey, you was about to get in the glory. I'm telling you right now, he'd preach a house down. Nobody can blush anymore. We've been desensitized to the mess that's going on all around us. But listen to me. We cannot afford to be desensitized to the glory that's going on above us. That's going on within us. Honey, we're a holy people, a holy nation, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. And we're supposed to be showing forth praise unto our God. Singing the scripture. Look at chapter 33 and verse number 4 and 5. I'm talking about this nation that I'm in. Chapter 33 verse 4 and 5. For the word of the Lord is right, and all the works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You say, Pastor, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord? I've got a, over at my boys in Stanley Valley, I built me a condominium to deer hunt out of. It's 5 foot square. It's got Odell windows in it, Anderson windows. I mean, suffering for Jesus. When it's cold, there's a little propane heater in there. There's a Bible in there. There's commentaries in there. I don't know how many deers walked by me when I was reading and just having a good time in the Lord. But when I built it, on the front of it, it's written with a magic marker, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." You say, Pastor, why would you want to go off and get by yourself in a place like that? It gets me out of a mess. Lets me focus on what's really important. Lets me rejoice. My name is written in heaven. I want to tell you something tonight. How many of you all in this congregation, there's some young people that don't know what I'm talking about, but if they live long enough, they will. How many of you all are dealing with some ailment or some ache? Would you raise your hand right now? Amen. Brother Larry, you're not supposed to talk about Sister Mary like that by raising. Oh, that reminds me of Olivia. She shook that finger at me Sunday night. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you something right now. Every one of us has got them. But you know, when Jesus comes, what we're going to do? We're going to leave them. Leave them right behind. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and cease the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. A couple more things and I'm done. We have the scripture in this holy nation where to stand. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. How many seen the bumper sticker on the back of somebody's car window, "No fear"? You know what the Bible said? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You ain't even started to be smart till you fear God. The Bible said, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world, watch this now, stand, underline that word, stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. If we could just remember that. You say, Pastor, it just seems like the enemy's winning. I promise you this, it's coming to naught. God's people, I've already read the last chapter and the last book, and we win. God's people, I love the song, I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, because I still have my Jesus each passing day. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians, I'm not going to turn there tonight, put on the whole armor of God. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against darker spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible said, stand, and having done all, stand. I want to say this tonight. By the grace of God, I'm not caving in. By the grace of God, if that boy of yours is a teenager, and I'm still teaching teenagers, he'll be getting the same message the teenagers are getting today. The message don't change. The Savior don't change. The book don't change. So God help us to stand. And then I give you this. This is exciting. Look at Psalm 33 and verse number 19. I'm finished for tonight. Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 19. Let me share one more thing with you right quick. I made a note here, and I don't even remember what it says, but I know there was a reason I made it. Look here in verse number 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe in a strong military. I do believe in the philosophy of peace through strength. I believe in that, okay? But I'm going to tell you something right now. If America has got their confidence in their tanks and their planes and their choppers and their bullets and their bombs, we've got our confidence in the wrong place. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible said a horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Turn with me to Isaiah quickly. Isaiah chapter 40. There's a reason I put this in my Bible, and right now my little pea brain can't even remember why, but I know I made a note of it. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 17. Here it is. Now I understand. Now I remember. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 17, the Bible said, all nations before him are as nothing. Do y'all see that? Are as nothing. God's not impressed with our might. You know what impresses God? People that love him. People that fear him. I personally believe there's only two things that's kept the judgment of God thus far. We are under a measure of judgment, no doubt. But I'm talking about the full-blown judgment of God. Two things. The remnant, that holy nation I'm talking about, within this nation, and our stand with Israel. God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. If you ever turn the news on one day and we're going to go up against Israel, you ought to shout. Because that would be a sure tale. The end's near. The Bible said here, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. When a nation sticks its chest out and thinks they can make it without God, God said, I'm looking. Nothing less than nothing. The last thing I saw in Psalm 33 was this nation will be sustained. The Bible said in verse 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. When you belong to this nation, David said it like this, Brother Jason. He said, I once was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. I'm going to close with this tonight. Brother Mark, I've been telling the church for several years now, before this thing's over, I believe we're going to need each other like we've never needed each other before. And I'm going to tell you right now, as long as I've got a sandwich, Brother Dale, you've got a half a sandwich. As long as I've got a quart of beans, you and Miss Kathy got a pint of beans. We'll split them with you. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, that they were on the news today talking about I-95, that tanker caught on fire and that big bridge collapse, and how much worse the supply chain is going to be because the truckers can't go up and down I-95 now. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this. God is going to take care of His own. You say, Pastor, you really believe that? That's why I'm so cotton-picking happy. I really believe that. Brother Gary, that promise you like, I believe that promise. He said He'd never leave us, never forsake us. He said He'd go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. I'm just glad you come tonight. How many believe that nation's blessed? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I love America. That's why I wanted to play that video. I love America. I love America. There's not a place in the world I'd rather live than America. There's not a place in America I'd rather live than right where I live. I wouldn't trade with neither one of you. I ain't even been to your house yet, Brother Larry. You might order to invite me. Maybe I'd trade with you when I get there. I doubt it. Amen. You see, if I was to trade, then I would get in the back of the head. Because that woman over there loves where she lives. Amen. She loves being around them youngins and them grandyoungins. I'm just glad you come. Thank you for coming. Pick your chin up. Among whom you shine as lights. Now listen. In the midst of a wicked. You go down there and everybody at the Eastman don't love God, do they, brother? Everybody in the state police force don't love God. But you know what God needs in the middle of all of it? Somebody that'll let their light shine. Right in the middle of the mess. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for coming. Amen.